Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
This is Phil Yeager of Yeager CPA Review, and welcome to our podcast called CPA Review, which means we go over items dealing with the CPA exam, and also we do more. It's called CPA Review and More. Today, I guess we would call it more, all right, because we're not talking about the CPA exam. There's more to life than the CPA exam. But you know what? If you're an accountant, I do recommend that you take the exam. And I have to say, the problem is, and I know the examination division hates it because they sent me a letter on this a couple weeks ago. I said the changes they're making to the exam, July 1st, 2021, all right, they're making the exam harder for two of the parts, you know, and, I got a letter and says that's not the, you know, the impression they want to give people taking the exam. All right. I couldn't believe I got it. And the person who sent me that letter isn't even a CPA who works with the AICPA examination. All right. Who is she to judge me or whatever, considering she's not a CPA? All right. Hey, the exam, believe me, is getting harder. It really is. But you know what? That takes away from the fact that it's no longer, you're not a bookkeeper anymore. Okay. A lot of people used to think, I took a job at Catholic University in Washington, D.C., teaching accounting. They treated me and they said, oh, that CPA stuff, you're just a glorified bookkeeper. So, you know, that was the way they thought about it. This is getting more complex profession because a lot of people are going into consulting and they have to know a lot of other areas dealing with the consulting area. But that's enough for me. All right. Today, my guest is David Pierce. David's located in Richmond, Virginia. All right. And I printed out his bio here, and it might take a half hour to read it, but just hold there. All right. He is a tax practitioner. He has CPE, Continuing Professional Education Instructors. All right. And he also has his own podcast, which we'll talk about. The Accountable.
It's called Accountable. Yes, okay. You got it.
All right. And we'll talk about that. We were talking about it briefly. Now, David, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, Phil. How are you?
Well, I think I mentioned to you, we're updating a lot of stuff for our CPA review course, okay? And it's really, this business is not 5 days, 6 days. It's 8 days a week. That's what it comes down to, all right? And
so, that sounds about right.
Yeah, who needs a vacation? We can't go anyplace, right, with this pandemic. But anyway, David, you're a certified financial planner. Correct?
Yes, correct.
And
yes.
You wouldn't know this, but I had a practice at one time in Denver, Colorado. My brother was out there selling insurance. And he said to me one day, he says, hey, why don't you come out to Denver? He says, you know, people are not as competitive as they are on the East Coast. You can start an accounting practice. All right. Well, that was back in 1983. All right. Now, you know, Denver's become really high tech. What's going on there, all right? But back then, I did very simple marketing and I picked up more clients than I really wanted. And I said to myself, it basically was bookkeeping work. That was it.
Right.
And I never liked that. I never enjoyed that. So I used to do a lot of tax planning. And then one day someone said to me, are you a certified financial planner? And I said, no, but I took the exam and I passed it, all right? So, yeah, and I went over to the campus of the College of Financial Planning. And by the way, they have an excellent football team. All right? No, they don't. But right. Anyway, eventually, I had to give up the designation because I couldn't keep up with the continuing education stuff, that type of thing. All right?
Yeah.
I want to know, how much of your practice is financial planning?
I would say that, probably 25% or so. I mean, for the most part, I do a lot of tax planning. I kind of specialize in the tax planning area. You know, it's financial planning is kind of it's a broad term. And one of the issues I think that a lot of CFPs, a lot of financial planners in that area that are the real deal is that term, financial planning, is not really protected. You can't call yourself a CPA, as an example, unless you're a CPA. You know, it's typically going to be against state law to do that. Financial planning, though, you don't have those types of restrictions. So somebody can, you know, come right out of school and start selling just life insurance and call themselves a financial planner. And there's a big difference between that and somebody like you, or, you know, a lot of other CFPs that truly are, you know, trying to do sort of full-fledged comprehensive financial planning. So I do think that there's, you know, that there's a big difference. If I'm looking at my practice, I mean, I stick pretty steadily to tax planning. I could do some financial planning, but it's mostly tax planning, I would say, because that's where people that come to me, that seems to be where they need the most help.
Are you selling any products as a financial planner? Do you get involved with, say, hey, someone wants to retire, what should they invest in, if, you know, in order to have a certain living, a decent living? Do you go into that at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do a little bit of everything. So I do retirement planning when folks need it. I do put together portfolios for folks when they need it. If folks need life insurance or small business insurance, I tend to do a lot of work with a lot of small business owners and that kind of stuff. So if they need small business insurance, I can help them with that too. My background, I sort of almost fell into kind of comprehensive financial planning. I mean, I came out of school as a tax practitioner and kind of exclusively a tax practitioner, and just kind of over time and just kind of life happened, and you know, I ended up working for a startup insurance company, and so I did that for a little while and developed a foundation in insurance. And then I got, you know, after doing that for a few years, I started getting asked more and more questions from clients about other areas. And then I started working for an investment advisory firm, an RIA, and I did that for a little while, and then I finally stepped out on my own. So for me, I kind of almost fell into financial planning. I mean, it sounds kind of similar to you, where it was maybe it wasn't necessarily sort of a direct path, but it was something that, you know, it developed over time, and it was something that just kind of came up.
Well, I really, I just wanted something. I didn't want to be an accountant, really, because I couldn't stand sitting there and doing debits and credits. I wanted something where I'd have contact with people.
Sure.
So I figured, hey, financial planning was a way of doing it because you get to talk to people.
Yeah. And
same thing when, you know, they came in with their tax returns every year. I would go over, talk to them, find out what's changed. And we actually talked to them for an hour.
Yeah.
And versus a lot of these CPAs, they're order takers, you know?
Yeah.
They give you that organizer. Yep. And they don't say a word to you. Fill in the organizer and they prepare the return. Do you know accounts like that?
Oh, yeah. You know, and I got to tell you, too, what separates, I think, you know, the really, really strong and good CPAs, the good, especially on the tax side, I think the tax side, especially, we're guilty as a profession of kind of being impersonal. I mean, people are more than just the tax organizer. I mean, to your point, it's about, you know, I mean, if you can really get to know someone, I think the people, what they pay for, they don't just pay for kind of just the straight tax preparation. They pay for the advice. They pay for the relationship. They pay for what you can give them kind of on an ongoing basis in terms of just direction. And if you're just kind of filling out forms based off of a tax organizer and that's about it, you're really kind of not really embracing the job, in my opinion.
Right. You're just an order taker.
Right, exactly. Completely agree. I mean, it's the same thing as just, if you're in a restaurant, I mean, give me your order, I'll go back to the kitchen and I'll get it. You know, I mean, it's nothing more than that. And I don't think, and I think I think, you know, you can win a lot of business, a lot of tax business by just taking a few minutes with people and really trying to get into, okay, what are they trying to accomplish on the tax side? I mean, what are they looking towards? What is not just what is kind of what did they do this past year and where can I, you know, save a few bucks, but like, you know, where is this going next year? What are the things that are on your mind? Are your kids going to school? Are you looking to set up trusts? Are you looking, what sort of things, are you thinking about with retirement and things like that? Are you going to get a raise next year? Those types of things, I mean, and especially if you're a tax planner, if you can get out in front of those things, I mean, you can really provide some serious value. And I think that that's really tends to be a pretty missed opportunity on the tax practitioner side.
Have you gotten involved with the loans, the forgiveness loans at all, paperwork? Have you gotten involved with that with people? You know, need money that, you know, because of the pandemic, a lot of them, as you know, right, the businesses were really, especially restaurants.
Yeah.
Did you work with them on those, is it the PPE or the PPP?
PPP loans. I've helped out a little bit with that. Not because I've necessarily, turned it away or anything. I mean, it's just my clientele has thankfully just not been as affected by that, but I've dealt with a few of them and tried to help people out where I can. So my exposure there has been pretty limited.
Because I've had some CPAs on as guests who have actually shifted their practice totally to that area.
Yeah. And
because there's not a lot of people, not a lot of CPAs doing that, they're really building up their practice with that.
I think it's definitely a value add. And I think that, and I think it's okay for CPA firms to sort of get away from kind of the traditional services like that. I mean, you don't just have to do tax preparation. You don't, there's other things that you can expand on. And I do think more and more, I think, clients are wanting more out of their relationships with financial professionals. They're wanting more from their CPAs. And I think certainly right now, especially, I mean, there's a big market for helping out, small businesses with their loans. That's what they need.
We were talking before the broadcast, I mentioned to you that the number of people taking the exam has dropped significantly. In fact, in the past 10 years,
right,
50% decline in the number of people sitting for the CPA exam.
Yeah.
Do you ever think of the CPA as going out and becoming a dinosaur?
And like you and I were talking about before we hit the record button here, I mean, I think that there is this unwarranted perception, I think, especially of students right now. And I can only go by, what I hear. But I think a lot of students are concerned about the future of the profession. But I think a lot of that stems from a misinformed view about what a CPA does. I don't think that the CPA credential goes out of style. It doesn't become a dinosaur because the skills that a CPA brings, you can put them in different contexts and those skills are still valuable. The objectivity that is so valued by our profession, that is basically the cornerstone of our profession, that doesn't go out of style. I mean, that's something that businesses need. The analytics that a CPA brings, the analysis piece, the ability to take large amounts of data and numbers and work through them to try to give businesses strategic direction, that stuff doesn't change. I think the people that worry about the CPA profession are folks that still sort of think of CPAs as glorified bookkeepers. Debits on the left, credits on the right, that's it. Don't think, just take the order, put in the journal entry and move on. And that's not really the profession anymore, I don't think. Certainly there's bookkeepers out there, but I think a lot of CPAs, I would say that their skill set has widened. They're not doing just kind of the classic bookkeeping stuff as much.
You're absolutely right. But without mentioning names, the ASCPA examination division, there's someone there and he believes the CPA is a license to do audits.
Mm.
Okay. So, you know, I was telling you, they're changing the exam July 1st.
Yeah.
It seems like he's putting everything into auditing. Everything is going into the auditing exam, all right? Because that's what he thinks a CPA is, a license to do auditing.
Right. And
the reason I say that is because people, for their experience requirement, it's working in a CPA firm for at least a year.
Right.
Or you can work under a CPA who's willing to sign off that he knows what type of work you're doing.
Right.
When you passed the exam, did you have to go through you passed the exam, did you have to get experience to get the license?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah. I passed the exam right after the state of Illinois changed over to the 150-hour rule. And I was actually the first group, either the first group or one of the first groups that actually took the computerized version of the exam. So my CPA review experience was very unique in that I distinctly remember walking into BEC on the first day, the professor getting up in front of the room and saying, okay, we don't actually know what's going to be on this section because it is brand new. However, here's what we think. And so for me, you know, that experience was pretty unique. I don't think that the CPA credential is just an auditing credential. I mean, I don't think that the public views it that way. And honestly, I would say, in my opinion, I think that the credential themselves, it's not what really, I don't know that it's really much what we as an industry think the credential is. I think it's more about what the public thinks it is. And the public equates the CPA designation with financial expertise, not just necessarily audits.
Well, the question is, the AICPA is recognizing that the number of people taking the exam is down.
Yeah.
And I just go to the meeting of the course providers. And this is another thing. Most of the people come on behalf of those course providers aren't even CPAs.
Yeah.
The people sell for the course, okay?
Right.
And, meanwhile, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to people who have never taken the exam, who make them sound like they're experts, you know? And it's just really, I don't know, the AICPA, do they recognize the problem? And, in fact, at one meeting they said, well, a lot of people aren't taking the exam. Any suggestions what we should do? And every suggestion, that I came up with was the same answer as every other question. All right? Can't be done. Can't be done. Are you involved with mentoring students? Are you involved in any way of trying to get people into the profession? Or you just don't have time or do that?
Yeah. So I don't do it as much as I was. I taught for a while. I was an adjunct professor at Winthrop University in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I did that for a little while, and just my national teaching schedule just got too intense for me to kind of to continue doing it. But yeah, I mean, I do a lot of work with students. I try to volunteer when I can, trying to get folks interested in the profession, because I think that that's part of what I feel like I'm giving back. I mean, the profession's been good to me. It has been good to me. And I want to give some of that back. And I want to give, I want students to be excited about what they're doing. So I do things like I've taken on a mentor-mentee relationship with some students at VCU, at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond. I've also done some stuff with some folks at UNC Charlotte. And so I try to get folks interested in the profession and hopefully share my experience.
You get them excited about the profession. Personally, I didn't want to major in accounting. It was, in a way, just like you say, it's been good to me.
Right.
And, it's not just debits and credits, but, I try to think to myself, how are you going to go in, to high school students even, and convince them that we're not just a bunch of dull individuals who do bookkeeping, all right? I cannot tell the AICPA what to do other than stop changing the exams so much. That's all they do, But, do you think, you're not involved with the AICPA that much, are you?
Well, I'm a national instructor for the AICPA. I do a lot of writing on the CPE side. I have served on some volunteer committees. I was part of the retirement planning committee for a little while. I was also a member of the Young Members Leadership Council for a little while. We discussed those issues in the Young Members Leadership Council meetings. I mean, the fact that, you know, that the number of people taking the CPA exam is going down on a national level. Some states have been more severely affected than others, but yeah, I mean, it's a big problem. And I think, you know, to your point, I think a lot of times we kind of sit around kind of scratching our heads, not really offering, you know, too many solutions as to why that is. One thing I will say is that what seems to resonate when I talk to students about it is just sharing my career path. I mean, sharing, you know, the fact that, you know, I started off as a, you know, as a staff accountant. My first full-time job, I was working as the staff accountant for a hedge fund. And I did that for a little while. And then, you know, the financial crisis hit and then I wasn't doing that anymore, you know. And, you know, but I moved into other roles and I started getting involved in other things. And it wasn't just bookkeeping. I mean, I, you know, especially, you know, when I was working in startups and everything, I mean, they used to give me everything. And I think part of the reason was is because, I mean, there was, you know, when you're working for a startup company, there's only so many people. So, you know, you wear a bunch of hats. But part of it is too, is that I think that, you know, the skill set, which again, you know, like I was saying, I don't think that ever really goes out. The objectivity, the analysis piece that CPAs are specifically trained for, that applies to a lot of different business areas and a lot of different business needs. And so for me, I think part of the reason why I got those things is because of those skills, you know, kind of being, you know, developed over time. That's what I tell students. And that does seem to resonate because, you know, I think a lot of students, I think, again, they're in that old mindset. I'm just going to be bookkeeping. And oh my gosh, that's going to be so boring. Why would I ever want to choose a profession? And especially one that's got a ridiculously hard exam with a low pass rate, a part of it at the end. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah, the parts that are coming on, the new parts, these students haven't had them necessarily in college. You know, that's one thing. And the other thing is, I have a bias towards online universities in many respects. I can't imagine taking intermediate accounting online, okay? I mean, where they give you work assignments and you bring them back, all right? You know, I think people coming out of school with accounting degrees, at one time they were the top in the business schools.
Yeah.
I don't think they know a lot of this stuff. You know, they come out and so how is it that we're going to keep these people knowledgeable with new areas if they're not getting the information at the schools? And they, you know, they'll say, well, you know, big schools, they learn, you know, different areas that are brand new. I said at the meeting, I said, what about smaller schools?
Yeah.
Well, we've spoken to all the professors, you know, and they've assured us that they're going to train these people, all right, for the CPA exam. That is such a bunch of garbage. You're going to talk to every professor, you know?
Right.
And, you know, the exam should be on material that they've had in college.
Yeah.
Now, you take the bar exam, I don't think it's not getting asked the questions on medical, you know, it's law, you know, and we're getting into all these new areas. And it scares me because, you know, I, running a review course, I see the people that are coming out and it's sort of scary in a way. You know, I hate to say that. All right. And it's, you know, and I think it has to do with the fact that the professors, all right, are more interested in writing research papers, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
When's the last time you did research in accounting? I mean, are you looking for a cure for the perfect debit? I mean, why is research so important?
Well, I think you hit on a couple of interesting things there. I mean, you're correct. I mean, I do think that there is a curriculum problem that, you know, and some schools are doing a better job of addressing that than others. I mean, I mentioned that I talked on my podcast with a professor at VCU, and one of the things that I know that VCU is doing is in response to that, they're actually developing a data analytics course for accountants. You know, so not just the standard curriculum. You know, let's take you through statistics, and then we'll kind of cap that off with a data analytics course. Data analytics specifically dealing with accountants, for accountants, folks that are trying to train to be to go into the profession. I think some schools are doing a better job of that than others. I would say that a lot of the problem, though, too, is that at least at the educational level, is that professors are. Professors, just like a lot of other people, are habitual, right? I mean, I teach my course. This is what I teach, and I'm going to keep teaching it that way. And I do think that that's that there's a mind. We got to make that shift. Otherwise, I think you're right. I mean, students are going to continue to come out and feeling kind of underprepared. The focus in on research, I don't know that that's necessarily anything new. I mean, I think I'm sure you can probably point to a professor or two that you've had in your life. I can certainly point to ones in mine that, that teaching was kind of secondary, right? I mean, it was, the school paid that person to do research pretty much, that's because that's what brings in funding to the schools and things like that. I mean, I do think that, sometimes that kind of can kind of come at a cost when especially the profession and the accounting firms are wanting students to come out being prepared to sort of step into accounting roles.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.